Under the clear sky on the mysterious banks of the Jordan River, Naaman, a war-torn and disease-stricken commander, faces his fate with each plunge. The murky, cold waters challenge his skepticism. It is the seventh time his body submerges, along with a last spark of hope. Can these flowing waters truly wash away the curse he carries on his skin? Discover how a simple act of faith can reveal a hidden miracle, capable of transforming his life forever. But before we continue with our story, don't forget to subscribe and like this video. Your interactions are essential to spreading God's message to more homes. Now let us continue. In an era dominated by tensions and frequent conflicts, Syria and Israel often found themselves on opposite sides of territorial and religious disputes. Syria, under the reign of Ben-Hadad II, was a powerful nation, known for its military strength and regional influence. Meanwhile, Israel dealt with its own political and spiritual dynamics, oscillating between periods of faith and lapses into idolatry. Naaman, commander of the Syrian army, was a man of great stature, both physically and socially. Respected for his military skills and feared by his enemies, Naaman was the king's favorite, credited with many of Syria's victories. However, his life drastically changed when he was diagnosed with leprosy, a disease that threatened not only his health, but also his social standing and ability to lead. 2 Kings 5:1. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. Within the palace, Naaman lived a life of luxury and power, but leprosy began to erode his invulnerability. Despite his illness, he continued to fulfill his responsibilities, though with growing personal desperation. In the palace corridors and halls, his subordinates and servants murmured as he struggled to maintain a facade of normalcy. Amid this uncertainty, a young Israelite girl, taken captive during one of the many raids, served in Naaman's household. Though her position was that of a servant, her faith in the God of Israel remained unwavering. Secretly observing Naaman's suffering one day, finding the opportune moment, she confided to Naaman's wife that in Samaria, her homeland, lived a prophet of God who could heal leprosy. 2 Kings 5:3. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." Intrigued and filled with hope, Naaman's wife conveyed this conversation to her husband, who, consumed by the desperation to find a cure, decided to bring the matter to the king. Naaman presented the possibility of traveling to Israel to seek the prophet. Aware of Naaman's value, both personally and militarily, the king of Syria decided to support his journey, providing not only his blessing, but also letters to the king of Israel, ensuring a proper and diplomatic reception for his most valuable general. 2 Kings 5:4-5. And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel." Then the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." With his Lord's blessings, Naaman prepared to venture into the unknown, carrying with him not only gifts and letters, but also a heavy burden of expectations and doubts. Overseeing the preparations for his journey, he pondered the possibility of a cure, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. This was no ordinary trip. It was a pilgrimage laden with uncertainties and the hope for a miracle. As the caravan advanced, Naaman's tension grew. Leprosy threatened not only his health, but also his dignity. The possibility of being cleansed of this affliction was both a desire and a source of fear. What if the prophet could not heal him? Each step towards Israel brought him closer to the answer, and with each passing mile, his heart wrestled between hope and fear. Upon reaching Israel, Naaman went straight to the royal palace, where he presented the letters from the king of Syria. The king of Israel, upon reading the request, tore his clothes in an act of despair and fear. 2 Kings 5:7. And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter, that he tore his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me. In a moment of tension, the prophet Elisha, having heard about the incident, sent a message to the king of Israel. 2 Kings 5:8. So it was, when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. This message was a ray of hope amid the confusion that had gripped the Israelite court. The king, relieved but still perplexed, agreed to the prophet's request and sent Naaman to Elisha's house. With instructions in hand and a new destination, Naaman set out for the prophet's house, each step filled with renewed anticipation and a slight sense of relief. However, his heart still harbored a trace of doubt, questioning whether the waters of a foreign river could truly purify him of his affliction. When Naaman arrived at Elisha's humble abode, the contrast was striking. Leaving behind the splendid palaces of Syria and the majestic Israelite palace, he found himself before a simple, modest house, unadorned, on the outskirts of Samaria. Accustomed to pomp and ceremony, Naaman expected to be received by Elisha in person. Instead, a young messenger came out to meet his entourage. The messenger, with serene composure, conveyed the prophet's instructions. 2 Kings 5:10. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. This simple directive, delivered without ceremony or special regard for his rank, wounded Naaman's pride. Infuriated, he could not believe that after such a long journey and so many expectations, the prophet had not even bothered to come out to meet him or perform some impressive ritual. 2 Kings 5:11. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, Indeed, I said to myself, He will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Frustrated and disappointed, he turned to leave, full of indignation. His servants, concerned and eager to see their master healed, approached him. Kings 5:13. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then, when he says to you, Wash and be clean? These words penetrated deeply into Naaman. As his initial anger subsided, he began to reflect on the simplicity of the request. His pride, initially wounded by what he considered a slight, began to yield to the possibility of achieving what he so desperately desired, a cure. What if his healing depended precisely on his humility and obedience to an apparently trivial task? Upon reaching the murky waters of the Jordan River, Naaman paused at the bank, contemplating the current flowing before him. His first reaction was skepticism. However, remembering his servant's words, Naaman stripped off his garments and slowly waded into the river. With a mixture of doubt and desperation, he immersed himself for the first time in the cold, muddy water. Upon emerging, he noticed no change. His skin was still marked by leprosy. Persisting, each immersion became a deeper act of faith. By the second and third time, his hopes began to wane, but he continued, driven by a mix of desire for healing and fear of failure. By the fourth and fifth plunge, something began to change, not just in his skin, which slowly showed signs of improvement, but in his heart and spirit. Naaman felt the weight of pride and despair begin to dissolve with each immersion. On the sixth plunge, a sense of spiritual renewal began to accompany the physical transformation. Finally, on the seventh plunge, Naaman emerged from the Jordan completely transformed. His skin, once marred and eroded by disease, was now as pure and smooth as that of a young boy. 2 Kings 5:14. So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. The miracle was fulfilled, and with it a profound spiritual renewal. Disbelief gave way to overwhelming joy and a deep sense of humility. Naaman realized that his healing was not just a gift of health, but also a divine lesson on the power of faith and obedience. With his heart overflowing with gratitude, Naaman returned to Elisha's house. Upon arrival, he presented himself before the prophet, no longer as a demanding commander, but as a humble and thankful man. 2 Kings 5:15. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him, and he said, "Indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth, except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant." However, Elisha, true to his selfless character and dedication to God, refused any reward. 2 Kings 5:16. But he said, "As the Lord lives, before whom I stand, I will receive nothing." And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Naaman insisted, but Elisha remained firm in his decision, teaching Naaman another valuable lesson about divine grace, which seeks not earthly rewards, but sincere faith and obedience. Recognizing the purity of the prophet's intentions and the depth of wisdom he had received, Naaman left Samaria, carrying with him not just a physical cure, but a transformed spirit and a new faith in the God of Israel. As Naaman returned to Syria, his mind and heart were flooded with thoughts and emotions. The experience at the Jordan not only healed his body, but left an indelible mark on his soul. Reflecting on the events, Naaman began to understand the magnitude of what had happened. Faith, once an elusive concept, was now deeply rooted in his being. He recognized God's hand in his healing and marveled at how an act of humble obedience could change his destiny. 2 Kings 5:17. So Naaman said, "If not, then please let your servant be given 2 mule loads of earth, for your servant will no longer offer either burnt offering or sacrifice to other gods, but to the Lord." Naaman's transformation was not limited to his spirituality. It also prompted significant changes in his religious practices. He decided not to offer sacrifices or worship other gods, but solely the God of Israel. He requested and obtained permission from the prophet Elisha to take soil from Israel, symbolizing his connection and commitment to the one true God, on which he would build an altar in Syria. While Naaman returned to his land, transformed and renewed, in Samaria, the story took a dark turn. Gehazi, Elisha's servant, driven by greed and discontent with Elisha's decision to refuse Naaman's gifts, conceived a plan to enrich himself. 2 Kings 5:20-21. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha the man of God, said, "Look, my master has spared Naaman this Syrian, while not receiving from his hands what he brought. But as the Lord lives, I will run after him and take something from him." So Gehazi pursued Naaman. When Naaman saw him running after him, he got down from the chariot to meet him and said, "Is all well?" Fabricating a story about the arrival of 2 young men from the sons of the prophets who needed a talent of silver and 2 new garments, Gehazi approached Naaman. Naaman, still full of gratitude and unsuspecting of the deception, readily agreed, insisting on giving double what was requested. Gehazi returned home with the hidden riches, believing he had succeeded without consequences. However, he could not escape Elisha's keen gaze. When they met, Elisha confronted Gehazi with a question that resonated beyond words. 2 Kings 5:26. Then he said to him, "Did not my heart go with you when the man turned back from his chariot to meet you? Is it time to receive money and to receive clothing, olive groves and vineyards, sheep and oxen, male and female servants?" The severity of Gehazi's act and its impact on the sanctity of his mission were exposed, and the consequences were immediate and severe. For his greed, Gehazi was afflicted with Naaman's leprosy, a physical and spiritual mark of his betrayal. 2 Kings 5:27. "Therefore the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and your descendants forever." And he went out from his presence leprous, as white as snow. Gehazi was punished not only with the disease, but also with the ostracism from the community, carrying a painful lesson about divine justice. This conclusion serves as a powerful reminder of the themes of humility, faith, and justice that permeate Naaman's entire story. Through his experiences, it is revealed that true greatness is not measured by power or wealth, but by the ability to submit to divine will and act with integrity. Naaman's legacy remains a testament to transformation and redemption. The lessons learned from his journey, the importance of humility before God, the faith that purifies deeper than water, and the justice that prevails over greed, resonate through the generations. Naaman, once a leprous warrior, is now remembered as a man who found true healing through faith, marking a path for all who seek God's mercy and grace in their own lives. Psalm 32. O Lord my God, I cried out to you, and you healed me. After diving into Naaman's profound and transformative story, we feel inspired by his journey of faith, humility, and healing. Now I invite you to join in prayer, raising our hearts and minds in search of guidance and grace from the Lord. Beloved Lord, we gather today moved by the story of your servant Naaman, which teaches us the importance of humility and faith on our spiritual path. We ask you, Lord, to help us recognize our own imperfections and needs for healing, both physical and spiritual. Heavenly Father, strengthen our faith so that, like Naaman, we can obey your commandments without hesitation, even when we do not fully understand your plans. Help us to immerse ourselves in the waters of your love and mercy, trusting that your will brings transformation and renewal to our lives. Lord, teach us to accept with gratitude the blessings you give us, without seeking earthly rewards, but valuing the gift of salvation and eternal life that you offer us. May our actions always reflect your love and justice, and may we be instruments of your peace and grace in this world. In moments of challenge and desperation, remind us of Naaman's patience and perseverance. Inspire us, Lord, with your infinite mercy and through the lessons we learn each day from your word. Lord, help us to see the beauty and purpose in every challenge we face, understanding that through our trials, our faith is strengthened and our character refined. Just as Naaman's journey led him to a profound transformation, let our journeys bring us closer to you, deepening our trust and dependence on your divine wisdom. We ask for your guidance in our daily lives, that we may walk the path of righteousness with courage and conviction. Fill our hearts with compassion for others, that we may serve them with the same love and humility that you have shown us. Remind us that in serving others, we are serving you, and that our actions, no matter how small, can have a lasting impact. Lord, in times of joy and abundance, may we remember to give thanks and share our blessings with those in need. In times of sorrow and scarcity, may we find solace in your presence and strength in your promises. Just as Naaman found healing and redemption in the waters of the Jordan, may we find healing and renewal in your unfailing love. We pray for those who are struggling with their own burdens and seeking answers to their prayers. May they find hope and encouragement in your word, and may their faith be a beacon of light in their darkest moments. Grant them the patience and perseverance to trust in your timing and your plans for their lives.